weebs of all walks. And this is Byron D Zero, and you are listening to the Weeb Trash Can Podcast. How is everyone doing tonight? We kind of have a very small cast tonight.
We have an awesome duo tonight.
Okay, the dynamic Byron. Duo, as it were. Right. Only it's a Batman and Robin. It's more like Batman and Nightwing. See, unless you want to be Red Hood. I don't know.
Well, I was thinking about that earlier. Would it be like, you know, Batman and Green Lantern? Or would it be like Batman with his other sidekicks? Because I don't know. It's just, I think we're two big personalities to be sidekicks. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, Nightwing kind of became his own person. But
yeah,
this is not a comic book podcast.
So. This is not a comic book podcast. This is an anime podcast.
Word. Again, Byron D Zero here, lead host with the most. Glad to be here on this lovely July afternoon. Not a break from the god awful heat that New England seems to love to oppress us with over the summer.
No, it gets so humid. You have Megatron here, bringing heaven straight to your ears.
Oh boy, ladies, I hope you have your fans on. It's gonna be hot. All right, so what are we talking about tonight?
So tonight we're talking about animes based off of video games.
Woo-hoo-hoo. I figure, like, we can take our time since it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
Got a couple of good ones here tonight.
What you got for me?
Oh my god, let me just pull up my notes. This one is kind of a personal story for me. Back in, like, the early 2000s, when I first got into my adventure into weebdom, I would go into Suncoast and just eye anime VHSs all over the place.
Oh, Suncoast Video?
Yes.
Oh, man, I remember that place.
Oh, yeah. I'm dating myself here, by the way.
Yeah, it's back when you could rent DVDs and movies.
Yeah, before we were spoiled with the embarrassment riches of streaming services that we have now. Two of the first VHSs I ever bought my own money were Endless Waltz, because I was high off that Gundam Wing drug. And a little ditty that would forever leave a sore spot in my soul. My entry is Samurai Showdown, the motion picture.
Samurai Showdown!
Or Samurai Spirits, if we're going to go that way. But, you know, semantics. God, where do I begin with this one? First, we'll start with the story. The narrative takes place a couple hundred years before the mainline story.
Yeah.
We have Haomaru and friends, Charlotte, Alfred, most of the main cast, facing off against Amatsushiro, who, first mark for this movie, is a woman now. No reason. Just because, I mean, I could go into the historical inaccuracy of that, but this is a story, a game series, where the main character can create tornadoes with his katana. So, I'm not going to go there. So, yeah, they have their big showdown against Amatsushiro, who betrayed the rest of the group. Yeah. They're known as the Holy Warriors here. And in they lose this fight. And their souls are scattered throughout the whole of existence on Earth.
Yep.
Fast forward a couple hundred years later, each Holy Warrior is reborn. And Haomaru is now just like a farm boy. He's still good with a sword. He still knows how to fight, but he knows nothing of his past life. He's the only one that doesn't know anything about his past life. So, a chain of mysterious events, Haomaru's mother gets killed by the demon that possesses Amatsushiro, Ankoshi and Ambrosia. Which, by the way, not in the game.
Yeah.
And this leads to Haomaru wanting to go on a quest of vengeance to kill Amatsushiro, who is possessed by Ankoshi and Ambrosia. The other Holy Warriors come to him and try to tell him that this is in the way, revenge is in the way. And he's like, fuck all that. I want revenge. And he starts to succumb to hatred.
Yeah.
And then eventually he overcomes his hatred, gains his memories back, and the Holy Warriors save Amatsushiro's soul and take down Ankoshi and Ambrosia. Happily ever after. And nothing like the game.
Yep.
First of all, the plot was ham-handed. It's like, I get it that they wanted to take liberties with this story, but there were just so many things wrong with this. Like, they literally had to shoehorn, well, not literally, they had to basically shoehorn in certain characters with cameos, like they tend to do with a lot of these fighting game anime, because there's such a large cast of characters. First of all, there's no relationship between characters that are in the game, so you never get to see Hatsune Hanzo and Godfrey interact. Mm-hmm. Hanzo's in this story is actually a super agent for Amatsushiro. Like, he's actually working to take Amatsushiro down, as is Kyoshiro. Because why not? Wanfu's a good guy. Also doesn't happen in the game. Which, of course, I'm sure some of you listening to this is thinking, oh, this is a fighting game story. Why does it matter? It's like, read the manga.
Yeah.
Read the manga. You will get a better appreciation of how to do a story.
Well, but, I mean, it just... If you're going to make a story, or a movie, for that matter, off a fighting game, you have to follow some sort of narrative.
Exactly.
And it should be a narrative that's done well, because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still representing the video game. And I guess if you're a super big fan of that video game, you want to see it succeed as opposed to failing.
This is, like, basically how to not adapt a video game, because they basically gut this story out and just put, like, a Samurai Showdown coat of paint. They probably had this idea for, like, another story, mm-hmm. but they couldn't do it, so it's like, let's just use this fighting game IP that very few people know about.
Yeah, I mean, I played Samurai Showdown on the Game Gear when that was a thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we're talking, like, mid-90s here, and, I never saw any of those characters ever again until Capcom versus SNK2.
Wow, yeah.
So that's a major gap of time between those two video games. But it just goes to show you that, you know, Samurai Showdown, at least for me in my neck of the woods, wasn't that big in the States.
Yeah, it really wasn't. It had kind of a cult following.
Yeah.
But I knew enough about it to know that this was dumb, even before, like, I really paid attention to the lore.
Yeah.
I remember years later kind of just, like, researching things about it, like, I didn't know about Tokisada Masashiro before playing these games or watching it. He was like a religious figure in Japanese culture that brought Christianity to Japan. Mm-hmm. And like he becomes like the main villain in this series for many of the games.
Yeah.
And it works, you know? It's like, because the Japanese don't really see Christianity as like the staple of the way we do in the States.
Yeah.
They see it more like Greek mythology.
Yeah.
So I guess it would be easy to demonize someone that's trying to, like, force his beliefs down the throats of an entire culture.
Which is pretty contrary to the background that Christianity holds.
Yeah. If you really do your homework.
Yeah.
And, I don't understand why Amatsushiro was a woman. I'm like, why? Because he wears makeup and he's a feminist? Like, that's stupid. Like, this just shows you that, like, how little they knew about this franchise before they went in. Just as a like little offshoot, mm-hmm. I own the manga and I still reread it every now and again. It characterizes characters like Haomaru and Nakuru a lot better. Haomaru is like this asshole samurai who goes into dojos like taking their signs because he can.
Yeah,
because
he's a good fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And through a twist of fate, he meets Nakuru, who is trying to stop a Machishiro's, like, reign of terror across Japan. So she basically hires Haomaru, and because he's interested in seeing just how powerful Machishiro is,
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't have been that hard of a story to adapt.
Exactly.
But then we get this, and it was not good. And I didn't even rewatch it for this, because it was in my memory that fresh. I'm just like, no, I'm not subjecting myself to this hell ever again. if you want to watch it, bring a pillow and bite down real hard, because this movie uses no damn lube. What you got for us, Giuseppe?
So the game I decided to choose that they made an anime off of is called Disgaea, Hour of Darkness.
Based off the very first game, right?
Yeah, based off the very first game. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's Nipponichi Software's like flagship, because I've seen them remake it for the PSP, for the PlayStation Vita. I've seen them remake it for the Nintendo Switch. And this is a this was a PlayStation 2 game, I think.
Yeah, well, it's a really popular franchise.
Yeah, yeah, real popular. I think they're on number 5 right now. Mm. But it's a game that's known for, you know, having these crazy-ass bosses, having to level up your character, and, like, hours and hours of grinding in a tactical RPG, which, I mean, I love games like that. And I did play Disgaea Hour of Darkness. I've also played Disgaea 2 and Disgaea 3. But it's the same thing over and over, so I kind of got franchise fatigue. But they were able to produce a pretty decent anime. And so some of the tropes that you see in Disgaea, they kind of glaze over a few of them, but some of them is betrayal, some of them is reclaiming what's yours, some of it is revenge and things like that. But the number one trope, or the main trope that they have, is love. So Prince Laharl is the main character, followed by Etna and Flan, who's an angel. So Prince Laharl awakens after being asleep for 2 years. Supposedly his father dies. There are theories about whether or not his father is actually alive in the game or whatever. But his father dies, and his father was the overlord of the netherworld.
Yes.
He gets woken up by Etna, and he has to reclaim his castle. Reclaim the nether realm or the nether world, and he goes on this crazy ass adventure. The anime changes a few things here and there that are different from the video game. So instead of Etna waking him up in the video game, they have Flan do it. When Flan gets weak because she loses her medallion, they weave that into the anime. As like as something else, as opposed to her character arc in the video game. Now, obviously, you know, the video game is stretched out through a few chapters. I think it's like 12 chapters or 13 chapters across the board. Mm-hmm. And they have like 12 or 13 episodes in the anime, but they change it up. They change up quite a few things. In the anime, they have Gordon, Jennifer, and Thursday. And they are an entire chapter arc before they join your party. And in the anime, they are like Team Rocket, where they constantly get blast off, you know? So Laharl will, like, knock them out, say, I don't have time for you. And they'll, like, disappear into a star in the distance or something like that. So what I do like about the anime is that they break the fourth wall. So it'll be like, they'll throw in, like, little tidbits of, like, and this is the ironic moment in the series, or we only got this much airtime before being blasted off. So, you know, there's all sorts of fun little nuggets in the anime. Overall, it's an okay anime. They kind of harp too much on the love portion of it, because Flan does, and spoiler alert, Flan does die for Laharl, just like Laharl's mom died for him. And that's why love and kindness is like such a tender spot for Laharl. But they overplay it in the anime, and you kind of, and they touch on it in the video game, but it doesn't seem as prevalent. So I guess that's what they did, or that's one of the reasons why they did the anime. They also do a few other things, like the Red Moon, or the Prinny story arc, I should say, is completely different. In the anime, as opposed to the video game, you get like a series of battles. In the anime, you get 2 or 3 episodes dedicated to Prinnies. So they go on strike. Then there's the one where they try to create their own utopia in the netherworld. And then there's finally the Red Moon episode where the mythos is that a Prinny is a little penguin, and a human who's sinned in their lifetime goes to the nether realm or Celestia, which is heaven, and they serve for X amount of time to atone for their sins. And when they do that X amount of time, they get to come back to life in a different form. And so this whole way they do that is by going through the Red Moon. And they change that up in the anime, but they do it in a pretty intelligent way, I think. Overall, it's a pretty good anime. It's full of laughs, full of tender moments. And there's parts of it where it kind of does eventually equate to a better, a bigger story that coincides with the video game. So overall, I'd say it's a good laugh, and it's probably like a 7 out of 10. So it's not too bad. I liked it.
I actually need to give that another chance. I remember years ago when it first came out.
Yeah.
Like watching the first episode and just being thrown off of the animation style.
So was I. And so I had to give it another chance again later on when I didn't have like anything else to watch. I was kind of reeling off of Code Geass.
Yes.
And that's when I decided to watch it again. But it was, it's definitely a different anime style. It's definitely a lot more different than the anime style that's used in the video game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you can get past that visual juxtaposition, you can definitely enjoy it.
I got a couple of other ones that I'd like to bring up.
Honorable mentions or dishonorable mentions?
Actually, I do have an honorable mention. I feel like since I harped on this on my first entry, we can each do one more if you have one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
This one is a prequel to one of my favorite games, Tales of Vesperia. Yes, First Strike. This goes more into the lore of the game's protagonist, Yuri Lowell, who, when he starts off in the game, he's a vagrant, and, well, he's kind of a problem solver for the village that he lives in.
Mm-hmm.
We hear throughout the game how he was once a royal knight for the kingdom, but you see him interact with, like, people who are higher-level knights and how they kind of scoff at him for abandoning it and just being a nobody. But you also see how much of a rebel he is. And First Strike, the prequel movie to Tales of Vesperia, gives you more insight into how he decided to abandon the Order. You see all the government intrigue of the game, where he's going up against the royal government, who are doing all these air experiments, turning people into monsters. You see the hierarchy with like the elves and such, and you just see how this like breaks any faith that Yuri has in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the rest of his party is kind of just like we have to do what's right. We have to do what's right, and it's like I'm doing what's right, but I don't want to do it for the kingdom anymore. To hell with this. And at the end of it, after like they fight the big bad, that's that. He just leaves, and it's not a great story because it's a prequel.
Yeah.
Because like you pretty much know like either everyone else is going to die. Everyone that's not in the game is going to die. Or you're just never going to see them again. And it's just like, why even introduce new characters? But it was very well animated. And I highly recommend it if you're a Tales fan like me. Like, the Tales franchise is my favorite JRPG franchise.
Yeah, the Tales of series is definitely dope. Because instead of making it like turn-based combat, you're actually engaged in the combat. That's what I've always loved about it. Like, besides Tales of Symphonia, one of my favorite ones was the one with Senil Coolidge. I don't remember which Tales of that was, but
I don't think I've played that one, actually.
It was for the PS3, I think.
Because, like, there are a couple of games that I still haven't played yet, like Legendia.
Yep, Tales of Legendia.
Yep, they have, like, this awesome combo-based system.
Yeah.
And there are always themes of rebellion in these stories at one point or another.
Mm-hmm.
My first entry was Tales of Symphonia, which kind of borrowed a lot from Final Fantasy X when you think about it.
Yeah.
But it eventually turned into a story about, like, this, like, fighting a system that the rest of the world has known up until this point. And you always see traces of that in every Tales game, including the one I'm currently playing, Tales of Berseria, where it's like you're a rebel almost from the very start of this game's narrative.
Yeah.
And I'm taking my time with this one because like it's probably the only Tales of game I'm going to be playing for a while.
Yeah.
It's for the PS4 if you have it. Do you have another one that you'd like to bring up while we're talking?
I mean, there's plenty of them. We can go for Fatal Fury if you want. We can go for Bayonetta. We can go for Final Fantasy and some of the titular titles there. But I'll stay on the fighting game trope and go for Street Fighter Alpha.
Ooh, that was also one of the first ones I bought with my own money, too.
It was done pretty well. I mean, some parts are predictable, obviously, because you know the video game.
Yeah.
And you know the story or whatever. But in terms of animation, I think the animation was dope.
Oh, yes.
In terms of the fighting, I think it was dope. And, you know, Ryu's struggle with the Dark Hado or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, going into those flashbacks and, like, the prequel to the entire series and how it all kicks off everything. Yes. That, to me, is a great way to kick off an OVA. I don't know. It has so many good elements. And I guess I'm biased because I love the Street Fighter series, which, you know, BT dubs, I'm going to give you guys a second to get ready for it, but I hate Street Fighter 4 and Street Fighter 5.
Haven't played 5. Never, didn't have an interest.
Yeah, like, there's no, after Street Fighter 3, everything else just kind of, it just kind of flopped down.
I like 4, though.
I mean, that's cool, you know.
I didn't love it.
I don't like 4, I don't like 5, not a fan.
Fair enough.
But going back, Street Fighter Alpha series was really, really good for me, because it had the elements of drama, it had the elements of action, it had the elements of a decent story leading up to the series.
Yes.
And, you know, I think in the OVAs that I like, they kind of tend to have those important things. Like, if you look at Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core, which is the, you know, it tells a story of Sephiroth and how he becomes evil in a way. It tells it from the point of view of Zack, Cloud, and Tifa. So that I think is very important to understand the whole Final Fantasy VII mythos. Mm-hmm. And they kind of go through each step or all the layers, and I think they did pretty good on it. Because it has the drama, it has the action, and it has the buildup of the story. So.
One thing I loved about Street Fighter Alpha was they didn't try to shoehorn in every character.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, they had, like, small cameos here and there, but yeah. They kept it focused on the story.
Yeah, unlike ones like Tekken, where it's like, oh, hey, there's a King, or there's a Law.
Yeah.
Like, they're in there for 1 second. You know, you can't say that about Street Fighter 2, the animated movie.
Yeah.
Yep, shots fired. I don't care. It wasn't that great of a movie. It was pretty, but it was not that great of a movie.
It wasn't. Let's be real. It was. I mean, it was good at its time because everybody was like, whoa, but
it didn't age well.
It did not.
And I guess we're going to do a couple of honorable and dishonorable mentions.
Sure.
Dishonorable. I'm going to go for... Persona 5.
Persona 5.
Yeah, Persona 5 animation. Now, hear me out. I love this game with a passion.
Mm-hmm.
Really do. I love everything about it. And it's so, like, appropriate for the era that we live in, politically, socially. It's about it's a game about rebellion. It's a game about, like, being true to yourself. It's a game about questioning authority. And, you know, it tells the story really well, but it tells the same story that the game is telling. Only it does it with worse animation than is in the game. I don't even know what studio, I think Studio Dean did it, I don't remember. But for the in-game animations, they got Production IG, which, you know, they rarely do bad animation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you go from that to whatever this is. And they cut so many corners. Like, when they do the all-out attack from the game, it's like, I don't want to see this. And, yeah, I'm not happy with the name change for the protagonist. It's like, his name isn't Ren, it's Akira, it was in the manga. And that's just me being pedantic, and I don't care. It's like, I wasn't the only one. I have friends who were just like, it doesn't take any chances. It doesn't do anything differently. It's telling the same story, and I'm good. It was like one of my most anticipated animations for this year,
mm-hmm.
and I was really hyped for it,
mm-hmm.
because they had, like, some really good voice talent, like Kape Yamaguchi. If you want to see a good adaptation of Persona 5, watch Daybreakers, which is, like, the prequel into it. It's got much better animation. It's got all the same voice casts. It's just one episode, and it's a good time. Highly recommend it. You got any honorable, dishonorable mentions?
Bayonetta, or the anime movie that was made off of Bayonetta video game. And it's Bayonetta is kind of in the same vein of Devil May Cry, where you're fighting demons and angels and all this other stuff.
But, oh, God, I forgot about Devil May Cry anime.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah. But it's in that same vein where it's like, you know, horror, fiction, sci-fi, whatever. And if you ever played Bayonetta, it's kind of like every horny teenager's dream. You get this hot chick, you know, shooting guns, slinging swords and whatnot, and she's doing all these very sexual poses and whatnot. And you get the same flash and flare in the anime movie. So it is what it is. And it follows the video game in terms of the story. So it's not too bad. I liked it just because I'm a fan of Bayonetta.
Mm. I just need to play part two.
Yeah, part two is pretty cool. They cut her hair and everything.
Yes.
And you get to play as Jean too. So.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to that when I get a Switch.
But yeah, then there's, you know what? I'll give you a dishonorable one real quick. So, Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched all of it because it just falls so flat.
Yeah.
Like, I saw episode one, I was like, all right, maybe it'll pick up. I saw episode two, and I was like, okay, well, maybe it'll pick up later. I got to episode five, and I was like, that's it, I'm done.
I don't blame you. I had, like, a little bit of curiosity about that, but then, like, I heard all the people trashing it. I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
Just falls flat. It's kind of like if you leave Coke out for a day and the Coke no longer has that fizziness and just you can just taste the syrup and all the nasty shit you're about to put in your body. It's like, nah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Nah, I'm good. Okay, so I just remembered my other dishonorable mention. This one's been a long time coming. And technically, since it's CGI, it kind of doesn't count. But this is one that hasn't aged well. Final Fantasy VII Advent Children.
All right, let's hear this. Because when it came out, I was all about that. So let's.
No, me too. I was all about it. I love it. I loved it then. I'm like, I was like all in the hype train. Like when the fan stuff came out, I'm just like, mine, give me. And I would watch it ridiculously. I even enjoyed the dub, surprisingly.
The dub was pretty good.
Yes, I mean Corey Burton. This is like his second time playing Cloud.
Yeah.
First time was in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
And I love him, you know, General Hospital. That's right, my secret's out. I like soap operas. No shame here. But he's good. My dude. He's a geek. He knew all about Cloud going in. So I'm just like, I like you. I can fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was no need for this. There was no, like, let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
There was no need for this movie at all. It adds nothing to the mythos. It is just fan service at its finest. And it undoes all the character development that Cloud Strife received in the first game.
I'd have to disagree with you on that. Because all the character development... It's kind of like Assassin's Creed Revelations, right? So you have Ezio. He gets this massive call to adventure, right? So he steps up to the challenge and he starts off his journey. You have Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, where he has to take on literally, you know, the most powerful empire at that time, which is the Holy Roman Empire, and then he defeats all those people in the Borgia family.
Yeah.
And then in Revelations, what does he have left? So he's kind of soul searching, and so I think that in Advent Children, this is Cloud. Who he's defeated his arch nemesis, and now he's kind of like, you know, what's left, what's next.
But he spends most of the time mourning people that he's already moved forward from in game. Like, he beat himself up over the death of Zack. He beat himself up over the death of Aerith. Defeating Sephiroth and banding together with his friends, he made peace with that in game.
Yeah.
You go on that journey with him. You see his development. So when you finally get to that point in this movie, you're kind of just like, isn't he over this yet? Like, it's been like two years or so, but he's not angry anymore. He's just kind of like, I'm sad.
Yeah, he's mopey. He's mopey, yeah. But it's like, it's because he's like, he's got nothing else left, and so he's just,
they could have
clinging on to the past, you know?
They could have characterized it better, though, I feel.
Yeah, they could have.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a misuse of Corey Burton's, like, voice talents for the dub as well. Although, I did enjoy George Newbern as Sephiroth.
Heck, yeah.
I think that was, like, his debut performance, too.
Huh.
Yes. And, like, I've loved George Newbern ever since Justice League Unlimited, when he took over for Tim Daly.
Yep.
He made that character his own, and he made Sephiroth his own. I hope that he is in the reboot for Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, he was the voice for Sephiroth in the...
Second Kingdom Hearts.
Well, yeah, but also in Zack's game.
Oh, yeah, Crisis Core.
Oh, so, yeah. So then what was the anime?
I think that was kind of, I know, yeah, like...
Yeah, the anime that I talked about earlier.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that too. Like, that was kind of a blur.
Yeah, but it was like three episodes, though. But anyways, Last Order.
Yes, Last Order, that's what it was called.
Is it Last Order? Yeah, Last Order. That's what it was called. That was the anime. My bad, folks.
Yeah.
Megatron made a mistake. It's all good,
though. It happens. If you'll allow me, I do have one more dishonorable mention.
Let's go, roll it.
Oh, my God. This is another one that's had a long time coming. It's technically not based off a mainline Final Fantasy title, but Final Fantasy Unlimited.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Wasted potential.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, I can't really say too much about it because I barely remember it. And I don't really have any desire to rewatch that series. I mean, check it out if you want to see what it did right. Like, great character designs, great music, decent visuals. The story was shit. And don't watch the dub. Do not watch the dub. Oh my God, that is one of the worst dubs I've ever seen in the existence of anime. Like, you want to know how to not do a child's voice? The children in the show, the two twins, I and you. Yes, that's their name. Their name just came to me.
I and you.
Yes, that's the joke, people.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of just like, Mr. Kaze, I hope you're all right. It was like they got the original voice actor for Alphonse from Fullmetal Alchemist and just bashed him in the head with a rubber mallet before he went to the mic.
Yeah, I was super hyped for that, and then when I watched it, I was like, what the heck is this? I mean, now that we're on this Final Fantasy train, you remember the movie Final Fantasy Spirits Within?
I try to forget that.
Yeah, that was pretty bad too. I mean, you know, It's like a 6 out of 10 in my book, but it's still pretty bad.
I mean, it was pretty... The soundtrack was one of that movie's saving graces.
The soundtrack and the voice acting, I think.
Yes, because Ming-Na was... like, played the lead, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's like a super geek too, so I gotta give her props as well.
I mean, I didn't watch it in Japanese, I watched it in English, but it's like... So, you know, there's no real... monsters for of the Final Fantasy element. They're using guns instead of like swords and shields and like staves and stuff. And it's super sci-fi for no reason. If it's gonna be a Final Fantasy movie, then make it fantasy.
Make it traditional. Yeah. I remember in college having a conversation with someone about this movie, and they were saying that it was Final Fantasy in a philosophical sense. And I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't give me philosophy with my movie unless I'm asking for it, please.
Yeah, it's like, if you want to give me the existential aspects of Final Fantasy, that's great. But make it recognizable.
Yeah.
Again, the soundtrack was great because this was like my first introduction to one of my favorite J-Rock bands, Lark on Seal.
Mm-hmm.
The video is still hilarious to this day because it's them sing. It's like a CG models of them playing instruments and singing.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, what wasn't my jam.
Yeah, it wasn't my thing.
And I hear that Final Fantasy Legends of the Crystals is the thing, but...
What is that?
That was an OVA that came out long before Unlimited. People talk about it. I saw, like, one episode at Babbage's years ago, and...
Babbage's? Yes. Holy crap, that's real, that's going real back.
Yes. Wasn't really interested in it. It, like... It just didn't wow me. Like, it looked cool, but... No one talks about it fondly, so... If you want to check it out, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube.
I mean, they at least did a pretty good job with Final Fantasy 15 in that movie.
Yeah, they did, huh?
I mean, like, how do I put it?
Kingsglaive, right?
Yeah, Kingsglaive. It's a solid movie. Like, as a movie itself, it's a solid movie. It's like a 7 or an 8. I don't think it leads into Final Fantasy 15 properly, because it kind of coincides with the story and how Lunafreya escapes Insomnia, but there's no real, I don't know, it should have been a standalone or a prequel, not necessarily something that stands with the game.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a good time to wrap up this episode. We had a good talk here. I mean, yeah, we had a lot to discuss. If anything, this shows you that, like, adaptation of video games are good or bad, they're not hard to do. You know, Hollywood, if you're taking notes, you certainly know how to fuck them up. fuck you for Tomb Raider 2018. That was not a good movie.
See, I haven't watched it yet.
Don't. Don't. I wrote a whole review about that. I'll send you a link.
Okay.
You know, even Hollywood can get it right sometimes. You know, Tekken was decent. Mortal Kombat. Ready Player One.
Ready Player One was pretty decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a lot of these titles that you're going to watch, whether the ones that we've mentioned here or future ones, because there's a ton of content out there, mm-hmm, that are either allusions to games or direct adaptations, like Persona 3, which I still have yet to watch, or Persona 4, which I enjoyed. Yep. They're out there, and you can find them. And
Fatal Fury, Blaze Blue...
Yeah. Which reminds me, I am on myanimelist.net, so if you ever want to see anything that I've watched or enjoyed, one of my recommendations, check it out there. Since we're getting the shameless plugs, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, we are on Twitter. I'm working on a mailing list, so... As of this episode, I have it set up. I just need to fine tune it because I don't really know what I'm doing. We're trying to do updates. Eventually, we'll get a Patreon too, because I'd love to get other projects going on under We Trash Can.
Yeah, we got to hash out that samurai with Afro Samurai argument.
Yes, one of these days we will. which I will say, did a better job of the Vagrant Samurai story than Samurai Showdown did.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. All right. Well.
This is Byron D-Zero saying, Ja Matana! See you next time.
Megatron signing off.